Bible, which says that God changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Partially, I have dealt with part of that, and that is that Jesus Christ did not give his church founded by him after his death, burial, and resurrection, purchased by his blood. Christ did not give his church a Sabbath now. I have dealt with that. And you must keep that in mind, because sometimes you meet people who confuse you. They say things, and you go to the Bible to prove something that you don't have anything to prove, because the business that Christ changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Sunday is not a Sabbath. You see, we want you, if I could just repeat that for the next 30, 45 minutes to brainwash you with that, that Sunday is not a Sabbath. The word Sabbath means cease from work. The Israelites were told not only to keep the Sabbath, but to keep it a particular way, holy. We, while Sunday is the Lord's day, in the same way the Bible refers to the Lord's table, what is put on this table should remind us of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We don't put our bun and cheese there. We don't put our Pepsi Cola there. What is placed there is placed there by Christ's command. That's how comes it is his table. Well, Sunday is the same. It is the Lord's day because on that day Jesus Christ was victorious from the grave, from death, and all of that. So don't ever try to prove that Christ changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. No, Christ changed the Sabbath. Yes, sir. But not from Saturday to Sunday. So the first thing I'll be doing tonight, I was about to say I'll take a few minutes, but sometimes you say a few minutes and takes longer than a few minutes. So, you know, anyway. Let us look at what the Almighty God tells us, that business of changing the Sabbath. Yes, the Sabbath was changed, but it was not changed from Saturday to Sunday. The change that took place in the Sabbath, it was taken out of the way. So let us look first at Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 11. You have Ezekiel, Daniel, then Isaiah. Chapter 2 and verse 11. Let us hear it.
Isaiah?
Yeah, chapter 2, 11.
I will cause all her mirth to cease.
Watch here now. It's the Almighty God speaking through his prophet, Isaiah. Isaiah is not telling his own thought, his feeling, what he thinks, what he believes. He is an instrument of God, God speaking to him. And God says, I will do what?
I will also cause all her mirth to cease.
The mirth are all the celebration that God had given to Israel, including all the Sabbaths. Notice I say all the Sabbath, because I think probably I'll take a few seconds or a minute to show too that you cannot keep one Sabbath. The Sabbath command was a package. including the weekly Sabbath, the monthly Sabbath referred to in throughout the Old Testament as new moon, and the yearly Sabbath referred to throughout the Old Testament as feasts or festivals. I will do what, brother?
Cause all our mirth to cease.
To cease. Read a little further.
Our feast days.
Wait. Our feast days, that's the yearly Sabbaths.
Our new moons.
That's the monthly Sabbath.
And our Sabbaths.
Yeah, wait, it's important too that this expression be understood. Feast days refer to the yearly Sabbath. Refer to the yearly Sabbath. New moon. Moon is plural.
Yes.
Yes. New moons refer to the monthly. Monthly Sabbath. And
or Sabbath.
Sabbaths refer to the weekly Sabbath. Throughout the Bible, whenever you see this, like the Bible talk about her feast days, it's referring to the yearly Sabbath. New moons, the monthly Sabbath. Always these terms refer to those three celebrations. And new moon is the monthly Sabbath. And her Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath. But here the Almighty God said, he will cause them to what?
Cease.
To cease, that is to stop. That's God prophesying through Uzziah telling the Israelite what's going to happen to the Sabbath. So, look here now. Look at Colossians chapter 2, very important passage, which you know. I want you to take into consideration what the passage is saying. Colossians. Notice what we have just read. The Almighty God through Uzziah is prophesying, telling ahead of time that all these celebration and Sabbath days, be it the monthly Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, the yearly Sabbath, they are going to cease. And notice they go together. When you cannot go keeping the weekly Sabbath, are the yearly Sabbath. Ian Boyd recognized that, and his church tried to keep all of the story. Because he recognized it's a mockery to try to keep the weekly Sabbath, and you forget the monthly Sabbath and the yearly Sabbath. Sabbatarians today is making a mockery of it. You must keep all of them, they go together. Okay. So let us hear now Colossians chapter 2 from verse 11 or 12 following. Let us hear from verse 12.
Buried with him in baptism.
Yes, we are buried with Christ in baptism. I always like this passage because this passage shows the importance of baptism. And if you are with us tonight as a visitor, always remember, when you visit the Church of Christ and we tell you that Christ command that you must be baptized to be saved, it's not from us. We preach it because we believe it. We preach it because Jesus Christ has shown us that it is a must. No, notice, we're not talking about baptism, but I'd like to give brother. I'm a very kind person. I always the brother when I see. Notice this. Buried
with him in baptism.
Notice the with him. When a man or a woman make the decision to become Christian and you repent, confess faith in Christ, and you are baptized, you are uniting with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's why buried with him. Him who? That is Christ. You are buried with Christ in baptism. Every time you are a man or a woman is properly taught, and you are going to turn your life over to Christ through obedience, you are in the act of baptism. In the act of baptism, you are becoming one with Christ. You are forming a solidarity with your Savior. That's why it's so worthy. Buried with him in baptism. Read on.
Wherein also he arisen with him.
Here again, when you rise from the watery grave of baptism, heaven see you forming another part of the solidarity, oneness with Christ. Wherein, that is from where we are going to be changed, from baptism, you are risen with him.
That's right.
It's a symbolic or a spiritual rising to walk in newness of life. Baptism is important. In fact, if you are here tonight as a visitor and at the end of the lesson you feel you want to give your life to Christ, just step forward when we sing. We'll talk with you further. But let me go on with the lesson.
Through the faith of the operation of God.
Through the faith of the operation of God.
Who hath raised him from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you, being dead in your sins,
mm-hmm,
and uncircumcision of your flesh.
Yes, when you are a sinner, you are seen by God as dead in sin. Until you repent and get baptized, as long as you live outside of Christ, you are dead in sin. Read on.
At he quickened together with him.
Yes, it is at baptism. You are quickened. What does the word quickened mean, Brother Mitchell? It means make alive. Yes. Read on.
Having forgiven you all trespasses,
mm-hmm,
blotting out the unwriting of...
What he did?
Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us.
That was?
Against us.
Uh-huh.
Which was contrary to us. And took it out
of the way.
Nailing it to the cross.
You know, I was about to say that's a mouthful, but that's about 10 mouthfuls. Paul, that's truly. Now, we are going to go over that. And I want, it's a passage many of us know, but it's a passage that must never be taken for granted. Because this passage is telling us what happened to not just the Sabbath, but the law. That's right. Watch here now. Blacking out, Don't you use the word blacking out?
That's right.
Brothers and sisters. I black out feast day.
That's right.
You get the idea? You remove it. That's the idea here. That's what blacking out. That is, you take it out of you. You black it out. You erase it. And another statement Paul going to make in other verse, lower verse, you will see the point. Blotting out the what? The hand?
Writing of ordinances.
that is referring to the Ten Commandments. That's right. And writing of ordinances. But notice, watch here. Let me write one or two times with this up and start writing. But thank God for putting enough here because. Yes. No. Black off, that's one term. Blacking out the handwriting of ordinances.
That was against us.
That was against us. Remember, it tells you what it's talking about. This is the Ten Commandments that God wrote on the tablets of stone. That was against us.
Which was contrary to us.
Which was contrary to us.
And took it out of the way.
Took out of the way. You see, he's making it that you just can't miss it.
That's right, that's right.
He blacked it out. He took it out of the way.
Nailing it to the cross.
Wait. Nailed to
his cross.
To his cross. Do you know our sin was taken and nailed to the cross?
That's right.
Do you know what that implies? It is on that account that when God deals with our sin in Christ, that's why the Bible says, our sin God will remember
no more.
When it talks about the handwriting, that is the Ten Commandments system, it was blotted out. We all know what that means. It was taken out of the way. That is simple language. It was nailed to the cross. Not nobody can misunderstand that. And that is telling us that system given to the Jews by Moses, including the Ten Commandments system. This is telling us what happened to it. But the passage is not finished. In fact, go over it again.
Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us.
Notice, it was against us. Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? Our greatest spiritual need was not addressed by the law. The Ten Commandments system did not address our sin need. Why? It couldn't. Very important that we keep that in mind. You know, the Bible talks about what the law could not do, in that it was weak, things like that. So that's why it was blotted out. It was contrary to us.
Mm-hmm.
Our deepest need is forgiveness of sin. The Ten Commandments system did not address that. That's why, if you are here and didn't know this, no sin for anyone, anywhere, at any time
That's right.
was ever forgiven until Jesus Christ died at Calvary.
Amen.
I need to repeat that. No sin for any man or woman was ever forgiven. At any time, anywhere, until Jesus Christ died. Well, Mr. Mitchell, what about in the Old Testament when the Almighty God promised the Israelites when they offered their sacrifice that their sin, what? Their sin was only put aside because they obeyed God. But the real stuff to deal with sin is the blood of Christ, and that has not yet come.
Amen.
That's right.
So what the Old Testament character did as obedience, and God promised them as if they were forgiven, is that God held their acts of obedience as a promissory note until the blood of Jesus Christ arrived.
That's right.
I'm tempted to go to Romans chapter 2 or chapter 3, 25. But let me not go here. Let me stay with this.
Yes. That was against us.
Which was contrary to us.
Everybody listening? This is talking about the Ten Commandments system. It was against us, and I explain in what way. It did not address our sin problem. It did not remove sin. In fact, this is what Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 means. Rush to it quick, brother.
Galatians 3, 19. Wherefore, then serveth the law.
Wherefore, then, why serveth the law that includes the Sabbath and everything? Why did God ask you to live by? Read on.
It was added because of transgressions.
He has answered you. And if you are not careful, you jump over that and don't realize that he posed a question that would be in the mind of the Jews when he told them about the law could not do for us what need to be done. Why then were we given the law? He told them it was added. Added to what? That is to the promise God made to Abraham. That through Abraham's seed shall all the nation of the earth be
blessed.
It was added, the Ten Commandments system of all that comes with it, was, for a better word, was like an afterthought of God. God does not have afterthought. But far better way. It's like when the Almighty God made a promise to Abraham, it was what? The Bible says what? 450 years after?
Yeah.
Huh? Not 450 years after that the Sabbath was in. 430. That's right. 430 years after God made a promise to Abraham, that promise entailed Jesus Christ coming. And when Christ comes, sin would really be dead. But 430 years after that promise was made, the Almighty God gave the law. Problem. I keep the cock off and the ink dry up. God gave the law 430 years after. Why? To let the Israelite recognize that there's something called wrong and right. It was added because of transgression. Wait, the law was not meant by God to deal with transgression other than to let the Israelite people know that there are certain things when you do it, you offend God. And to keep that consciousness alive until Christ comes. That by the time Christ comes, men and women would be conscious of their offense against the Almighty God. the world would not be void or be empty of some recognition that there is a righteous God. It was added because of transgression.
Till the seed should come.
What till? That means it's up to that point. The law going to serve up until that point when Jesus Christ come.
That's right.
Read on a little more. Read on.
To whom the promise was made.
To whom the promise was made.
And it was ordained by angels.
And it was ordained by angels.
In the hand of the mediator.
Read on.
Now a mediator is not a mediator of one.
I want to find the verse there in Galatians. You start at 19. That's where you had started.
Yes.
It's the verse, the part which says...
Is the law then against the promise of God? That one?
Yes.
God forbid?
Yes. I think that sounds close to it. What verse is that?
21.
21. Let me hear 22.
But the scripture had concluded all under sin.
I'm looking for if there had been a law given, it should be somewhere there, that could give life. You're at Galatians chapter 3 or chapter 2?
Chapter 3. We're at chapter 3.
Just give me a minute. Galatians chapter 3. But the passage... Just a point, because we're coming right back to Colossians. Galatians 3:20. Yes. You had read 21, brother? You had read it?
Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid.
Uh-huh.
For
Wait.
Yes.
Why all this question I'm coming? Is necessary. That is my part. Is less... The people to whom he wrote, to the church of Christ in Gaul, lest they misunderstood some of what he was saying. He's pointing out, I'm not saying that the law is against God's promise. Because God gave the law, he did not give something that is contrary to his promise. That's what he's implying here. Is the law then against the promise of God? Read.
God forbid.
God forbid.
For if there had been a law...
I want everybody to make sure you get this little part. It's a point I emphasize quite hard. For if there had been...
A law.
If law...
Given... Which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law.
Let us make sure we understand this. If there had been a law, notice the generality of the let me use a law, any law? Has God given a law? I'm not asking you this. It's the Israelite. Has God given a law that could have given life? And notice here, before life, you have to get forgiveness. Read it again, brother.
For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law.
That is, you need to be righteous before you can have life. His eternal life is under consideration here. And what the Bible is talking about, no law given by God or man can do that. Paul is saying, up to this time in human history when Galatians was written, he's saying there is no law. The Ten Commandment law could not bring life. It could not bring forgiveness. That's the point he's emphasizing here. No law can do for man and accomplish for man what Christ accomplished. And that's exactly the question. If there had been a law given, by whom, Brother Mitchell? Man or God? God has not given anybody a law that could accomplish for us forgiveness, hence righteousness and life. And man has not given that law either. So the point is, Sabbath law or whatever, animal sacrifice law, they were inadequate to accomplish for us what need to be accomplished. Whereas there had been a law given that could bring righteousness, then life would come by that law. None have been given. So turn back to the passage of Colossians chapter 2. No law given by God or man meet man's deepest need. Forgiveness of sin and righteousness. Read.
And having spoiled principalities and powers.
Just back up again.
Blotting out the unwriting of ordinances.
When the man talk about changing the Sabbath, here you have not just blot it out, not just change it, it's blotted out. It was gotten rid of. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances.
Was against us.
It was against us.
Which was contrary to us.
It was contrary to us.
And took it out of the way.
He did not only blot it out, he took it out of the way. So if you didn't understand what he meant by blotting out, then you must understand what he meant by taking it out of the way. Read on.
Nailing it to the cross.
Nailing.
To its cross.
It to his cross. Read on.
And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man
I'm here trying to tell you to jump down to that verse looking. What verse is that?
That is verse 16.
As a result of what Jesus Christ has done to the law. Let no man
Therefore,
judge you
in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day.
Watch here now. Wait. Take time with me, please. Thank you. want you to notice something. The Bible mentioned in respect of holy day one.
Or of the new moon.
New moon. Are we there?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Or of the Sabbath days.
You notice that these come together again?
That's right.
You remember we look at it? Holy day is referring to the year, the Sabbath. New moon refers to the monthly Sabbath that was kept by the Jews. And the Sabbath day refers to the weekly Sabbath. When the Almighty God gave it, he gave it as a package. The entire Ten Commandments system was a package. You cannot go to the Bible and take out the weekly Sabbath only. That must be kept in mind. The Bible talks about if you subject yourself to any part of the law, you are under the curse of the whole law.
That's right.
That's what the Bible teaches. The people around you, Sabbathira, who tell you to keep Sabbath, they are putting you under curse. That's what the Bible says. Because the law was not meant to be kept in peace, it was meant to be kept as a whole. You cannot go and pick out two or three parts of it. You have to practice all. So what you have just read there, brother?
Let no man therefore
judge
you in meat.
Wait. Yes, meat.
Or in drink.
And that is, they were forbidden to eat certain. All the same, if your stomach can take the thing, it is sanctified by fast.
Giving.
That's right. So let nobody use these against you anymore. Why? Because it has been nailed to the cross of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
That's why in the therefore. You see, the therefore in, is verse 16 now?
Yes.
The therefore in verse 16 is taking you back to all that he has been saying from around verse 12 or 13 down. So when he reached here, he said, because of what took place in respect to the law nailed to the cross, it's taken out of the way, it was blotted out, nobody can come and use the Sabbath against you. Use the monthly Sabbath against you. Use the yearly Sabbath against you. Nobody can do that. Because it was nailed to the cross. Are we all there? Let me just, this passage that, so we had looked at Isaiah chapter 2 verse 11. We are looking at Colossians chapter 2 from 11 through 16. Here is another passage which many of us are well acquainted with. Hebrews chapter 7, 11 and 12. We are looking at the false teachers that was using Roman Catholicism, falsehood, to want to justify telling people to keep the Sabbath. The Almighty God, the Sabbath was never meant for the Christian. It's not a part of the gospel. In all of Paul's writing some 14 books of the New Testament, God inspired him. One time Paul speak about the Sabbath, and it was that we are not under it. One time, telling us we are not under it. Uh-huh. Let us hear the passage.
Hebrews 11.
Chapter 7, I think I said. Chapter 7, verse 11, following.
If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law.
May I, every time this passage, I didn't say, and that the people received the law. It is saying that the priesthood is the foundation of the total system. Whenever you remove the Levitical priesthood from the Old Testament, whatever is there as a religious act come falling down. All that are said to support the priesthood. The priesthood was that which pointed to Jesus Christ. All the sheep and the cows that were slain under the Old Testament system for some 1,400 years, all of that animal blood was only a symbolic thing pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ. So the priesthood is the foundation. And what the writer of Hebrews saying, listen him again.
For if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek?
That is Jesus Christ. Reasoning it, if the Ten Commandments system with Aaron priesthood, if that had been adequate, there would be no need for the Almighty God to raise up Jesus Christ after another order of priesthood. But now, listening now, and listen carefully.
And not be called after the order of Aaron.
Read.
For the priesthood being changed.
Read. Let me hear that again.
For the priesthood being changed.
Read that again.
For the priesthood being changed,
There
is made of necessity a change also of the law.
Amen. That's logical reasoning, or the right of Hebrew is telling us that the priesthood is the foundation of the system given to the Israelite.
That's right.
The priesthood. And what he said. You have already shown them that the priesthood changed. So you said the priesthood having changed, what rest on the priesthood going to have to change though?
That's right.
For the priesthood being changed,
there
is made of necessity a change also of the law.
That's right.
The Sabbath was a part of the law. So here the Bible is in the plainest that it can be expressed that the law has been changed because the priesthood has been changed. Time. Let me see if there is. Let me just drop this along. We are about closing. There's so much, you see, there's a lot more to. Anyway, look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. Read it aloud for me.
Concerning zeal, persecuting the church.
Paul is telling of his past life before he met Christ, before he became a Christian. Concerning thee,
persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law.
Wait, take time with me. As it relates to the righteousness that is in the law, that is the righteousness which, when you live a certain way, the law would designate you as blameless. Read that little part again. Concerning
zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless.
You hear? He was blameless when you use the law to measure him. When you put Paul against the
the Lord, you couldn't point finger at Paul. Blameless. But to just show you the heights that the gospel is above the law. Look at Philippians chapter 1. And you read Philippians, 1 Timothy, rather, chapter 1 and verse 15. First Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 15. The brothers just read Philippians 3:6.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
That's 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse
15.
Everybody see what I'm showing you? According to the Old Testament system, when you do the law to measure all, how we stand with God, you could not find any fault with it.
Mm-hmm.
The very time the law tell Paul you are blameless, the gospel of Jesus Christ tell Paul you are the worst of sinners.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because the passage the brothers just read in 1 Timothy, he said Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and he said he was the chief of sinners.
That's right.
That is, that shows the difference between the two systems.
Mm-hmm.
One system telling me was blameless, and at the very time that system telling that the gospel of Jesus Christ by which we live today and by which all men today since the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ going to be lived and be judged, that system said to Paul, you are the cup-ranking sin. It shows you how inadequate the law was.
We'll have to, but let me,
because I'll have to come back to this lesson. I'm just pointing out something here. We're not going to discuss it, but when you come back, it's among the things. You see, in the book of Colossians, that was written, the plural Sabbath is used, Sabbatera, in order to escape the implication of Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 following. Make a big thing that Sabbath is pluralized, mean that it is not talking about the weekly Sabbath, but it is talking about the Old Testament ceremonial yearly Sabbath. When we come back to this lesson, this is one of the things that we are going to think of, to show you many passages where the plural of Sabbath is used, and the context beyond any shadow of doubt show that it is referring to the weekly Sabbath.
But when a man is drowning, he will hang on to anything. Thank you for the time. One of the things I was hoping to address tonight, but I don't even touch it yet, and that is the two systems do not mix. You see, I must get on that probably when we get back, if time permit. Not one or two passages that law and faith do not mix. You cannot be living by faith in Christ and be holding unto the law at the same time. I'm not the one who says it. We're going to look on some half a dozen passages which emphasize that you cannot mix the two. So there are people today who want to hold on to the law and the Sabbath, and they want to hold on to Christ at the same time. Jesus Christ says, the Almighty God never meant for those two to mix up. That's right. When you throw oil and water together, the oil is going to try to separate. So when we get back, and I'm sorry that time does not allow us for question. I was going to say I'm going to allow it for two questions, but I know that time has gone. But I beg you to avail yourself.